Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Under the Radar SFF Books Podcast. I'm your host, Blaze, as always. Thank you so much for joining me and listening wherever you may be around the world. And I apologize for being away for so long. I needed some time away to get my head straight. And I'm back and doing a solo episode today. This next series overview is brought to you by popular demand. I've asked on my Twitter account what review people wanted to listen to and hear me talk about the most, and overwhelmingly, the choice was Glenn Cook's The Black Company. Now, Glenn Cook is an author who I consider to be the grandfather of today's modern grimdark subgenre. Now, why do I say that? Well, before there was a Mark Lawrence or a Joe Abercrombie or any other grimdark fantasy you want to put out there, Glenn Cook, who wrote this Black Company series in the began in the 80s, he wrote some of the most grim and dark scenes in any type of fantasy that I've read up till that point. And a lot of the inspiration for other books down the line, other authors, such as Stephen Erickson's Malazan Book of the Fallen series. In fact, one of the books in that series is dedicated to Glenn Cook. I believe it's Reaper's Gale. That Black Company inspired those stories. And if you read The Black Company, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. I'm actually going to read a small section from that book today for you down the road once we get into what the story is about, some of the characters, and why you should read it. And I'm actually going to read from my review on my blog, which I wrote quite some time ago, tell why you should read The Black Company by Glenn Cook. So if you'll indulge me, I'll get into it. Glenn Cook was born in New York City in 1944. After spending time in the United States Navy, groundwork was laid for the birth of his legendary Black Company series, published by Tor Books. The series is described as a gritty fantasy series following an elite mercenary unit through several decades of its history. It has become something of a cult classic, especially among current and former members of the military. When asked about the series' popularity among soldiers, Cook replied, "The characters act like the guys actually behave. It doesn't glorify war, it's just people getting on with the job. The characters are real soldiers dealing with extraordinary problems in an unforgiving world." Cook drags us into the trenches, night watches, missions, and supernatural events of the Black Company. Let's lay some groundwork for how the story begins. The Dominator is an extremely powerful wizard who has the ability to turn the most bitter enemies into his loyal servants, even those nearly his equal in magic. The most potent of his victims are called the Ten Who Were Taken, or just Taken for short, with his wife, the Lady, whose magical skill is second only to that of the Dominator. He founded an empire unrivaled for evil. It was overthrown by a rebellion led by the White Rose, but neither she nor the rebel wizards were strong enough to kill the Dominator, the Lady, or the Taken. The best they could do was to render them unconscious and imprison them. Their prison was a place called the Barrowland. After four centuries, the wizard Bowmans awakened the Lady during a spirit walk into the Barrowlands in an attempt to learn from her. She manipulated him, won her freedom, and subsequently trapped Bowmans in a quasi-undead spirit state between dimensions. She then unleashed the Taken, but betrayed the Dominator, leaving him where he was, and proceeded to resurrect the Empire. As with the old, so it was with the new. A rebellion broke out, spearheaded this time by the Circle of 18. The Circle is made up of magicians not individually as strong as the Taken, but usually united in their goals. The Taken, on the other hand, battle each other as much as they do the rebels. The Black Company is told through the tales of the chronicler Croker, a medic and historian of the Annals, which have been keeping the official records of the company for hundreds of years. He is joined by his fellow soldiers, the captain, the ever-quiet Silent, the two wizards of One Eye and Goblin, Elmo, and of course the mysterious Raven. The company eventually becomes employed by the Lady herself, and away the story goes on an epic 10-book series with dozens of twists and turns you will not see coming. So that's a little bit of the history prior to the first book of The Black Company and where this world that they live in and what our characters have to deal with. Now, before I get into like the characters and a little bit of the plot at hand, I want to just talk briefly about how the books are spread out, because there's 10 books in the series, but one of those 10 books is actually a spin-off book called The Silver Spike, and it's debatable whether you should read that or shouldn't read that. I always suggest read it. It'll give more background, and it's a good side story to the main series as well. It's also split into 4 omnibus books if you're buying the newer versions. So the first book, and I'm actually holding it in my hand now, is called Chronicles of the Black Company. Now that makes up the first 3 books in the series, and these are quote-unquote titled The Books of the North. The next 3 books, including The Silver Spike, those are called The Books of the South. And then there's 2 more omnibuses. There is The Return of the Black Company, and then is The Many Deaths of the Black Company, which finishes out the series. Some reviewers have put forth the idea that you don't need to read the entire series to enjoy some of the books in the series. And I do agree with that, but I disagree with the whole perception of that. And what I mean by that is, they say you only need to read like the first 3 books in the series, and then you can stop and never continue, and you'll be fine. There's something to be said about that, but I disagree. Some of Cook's best writing, in my opinion, happens in the mid to later books in the series. Particularly, my favorite book in the series is actually Bleak Seasons, and I'll talk a little bit about that when we talk about the characters and Glenn Cook's writing style. But the further you go in the series, I think the more Glenn Cook will just open your eyes to the amazing type of writer he is, and why I think he should be considered among the classics of this genre. So let's talk a little bit about the characters. Obviously, the main person who drives the story is Croker, and it's told in first person through his eyes. Croker is a medic. He is the annals of the Black Company's big book of their stories. He's responsible for writing what's going on in the world in everyday life. And it's pretty interesting how Cook goes about this, because the annals, at least the way Croker writes stuff in it, it's a series of journal entries. It's not like a long description of like a story, like we went here and then we had this and then that. It's literally when you have a time to write something down, you're just writing like a sentence here or there. And then that's how the annals came to be. He does the same thing in the first book, at least. Not so much in the later books, but the first book, when you read it, it's going to be a little bit jarring. It's going to be very short, very abrupt, and it can take you by complete shock. At least it did me the first time I read it. And I'm going to read a section a little later, so I'll talk about the other characters first. Then you have the wizards. You have One Eye, and you have Goblin, and you have Elmo. There's always banter going back and forth between them, and it always brings a little bit of a smile, although there's like a dark side to it as well in this grim atmosphere. The way I envisioned when I was reading the story is they're in like not a haunted land, but it is haunting. There's darkness, it's misty, there's mountains, there's craters, there's all this crazy stuff. There's awakened undead creatures, there's mages, there's all this bad stuff. And there's this mercenary group just trying to do their job, and they get caught up in shit all the time, and it's just them making their way through it. Some other characters you get to see is the captain, who's always right on guard. He knows what needs to be done. He's very diligent. He's very true to his word. And then later on, you meet this other guy called Raven. He's the maverick. He's the outsider when he learns to join the group. And he brings with him, I didn't mention this in my earlier summation, but he brings this orphan girl named Darling into the fold. And his task is to protect her, because she doesn't really have anyone else besides him. And the story around what happens between those two and the company overall is going to have ramifications for the rest of the series. So With that being said, I think I will read at least a page or two from the opening to the first book, which is also ironically titled The Black Company. So if you'll indulge me, I shall begin here. Chapter 1, Legate. There were prodigies and portents enough, One Eye says. We must blame ourselves for misinterpreting them. One Eye's handicap in no way impairs his marvelous hindsight. Lightning from a clear sky moat, the Necropolitan Hill. One bolt struck the bronze plaque, sealing the tomb of the Forvalaka, obliterating half the spell of confinement. It rained stones. Statues bleed. Priests at several temples reported sacrificial victims without hearts or liver. One victim escaped after its bowels were opened and was not recaptured. At the Fork Barracks, where the urban cohorts were billeted, the image of Tex returned completely around. For 9 evenings running, 10 black vultures circled the bastion. Then one evicted the eagle, which lived atop the paper tower. Astrologers refused readings, fearing for their lives. A mad soothsayer wandered the streets proclaiming the imminent end of the world. At the bastion, the eagle not only departed, the ivy on the outer ramparts withered and gave way to a creeper, which appeared black in all but the most intense sunlight. But that happens every year. Fools can make an omen of anything in retrospect. We should have been better prepared. We did have 4 modestly accomplished wizards to stand sentinel against predatory tomorrows, though never by any means as sophisticated as divining through sheep's entrails. Still, the best augurs are those who divine from the portents of the past. They compile phenomenal records. Beryl totters perpetually, ready to stumble over a precipice into chaos. The queen of the jeweled cities was old and decadent and mad and filled with the stench of degeneracy and moral dry rot. Only a fool would be surprised by anything found creeping its night streets. I had every shutter thrown wide, praying for a breath of the harbor rotting fish and all. There wasn't enough breeze to stir a cobweb. I mopped my face and grimaced at my first patient. Crabs again, Curly? He grinned feebly. His face was pale. It's my stomach, Croaker. His pate looks like a polished ostrich egg. Thus the name. I checked the watch schedule and duty roster. Nothing there he would want to avoid. It's bad, Croaker. Really. I used my professional demeanor. Sure what it was. His skin was clammy, despite the heat. Eaten outside the commissary lately, Curly. A fly landed on his head, strutted like a conqueror. He didn't notice. Yeah, 3-4 times. I mixed a nasty, milky concoction. Drink this, all of it. His face puckered at the first taste. Look, Croaker, the smell of the stuff revolted me. Drink, friend. 2 men died before I came up with that. Then Pokey took it and lived. Word was out about that. He drank. He means it's poison. The damn blue slipped me something. Take it easy. You'll be okay. Yeah, it looks that way. I'd had to open up walleye and wild bruise to learn the truth. It was a subtle poison. Get over there on the cot where the breeze will hit you if the son of a bitch ever comes up and lie still. Let the stuff work. I settled him down. So you see how the sentences are kind of like short, to the point, and then cut off very abruptly. That's done on purpose. It's Croaker writing like on a medical sheet what's going on. It's short, quick banter between a medic and the patient about what's going on. It's also military, quote-unquote, humor, and how like dark it can be, and how they, in such dark times, they have no choice but to like kind of like laugh and goof off. Otherwise, they'll be sad and wither about the depression that they're all in while they're trying to accomplish their one task. I know it went a little long-winded, but I just wanted you all to get a taste on what this is about and maybe if this story would be for you.
And finally, in closing, I just wanted to say
throughout the story, Glenn Cook actually adapts his writing style to suit who is telling the story and what is needed out of that particular book. Now, I'm not going to get into spoilers, but I mentioned that Croker is the main person who he tells the story through. He's our main eyes. He's not the main eyes in every single book. I mentioned earlier, Bleak Season was my favorite book. There's a character in that book, I'm not going to tell you his name because that's a little bit spoilery, who he actually has amnesia and PTSD, and he forgets like parts of the past, what happened, and over the course of that book, he slowly is remembering what happens. And it's completely different writing style from when you're reading it from Croker's point of view, as opposed to this other character in the later books. I was actually shocked at how much I was enjoying it. And only a true wordsmith with a pen can do something like that, in my opinion. It's hard to explain without you all having to read it yourself. But it's Bleak Seasons. It's book six. Longtime fans of the series know what I'm talking about. And I hope you guys would pick this up and get to that same point one day. So this has been a great travel down memory lane. I absolutely loved The Black Company when I first read it. I'm looking forward to doing a reread, hopefully within the next year, when all my other current rereads and TBR hopefully go down to as small as possible. But that's wishful thinking with anyone in this day and age, right? So thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. And for my next podcast episode, which hopefully should be coming out not soon after this one, I'll be doing something a little different, and I hope you guys will enjoy that one. But until then, cheers, everybody.